As we begin our next installment of the series that we've been working on, that we're speaking about God's plan of salvation, the next portion that we're going to speak on is here in your bulletin. It is entitled, "It is a fact that you can be saved by faith and know it." Now, that seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Because if we truly walk by faith, as Mitch said earlier in the song that we sang, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's something that we believe, not necessarily that we can put our hands on. But you can know it. How does that fall in? Well, we're going to examine that and realize that by faith we can know something. Okay? And that is a reality that our world does not want to accept. In fact, that's one of the reasons why they are pushing Christianity and all other types of religion to the background. And they're saying those are personal things, they're really not things that are of this world, and they have no importance to the world, because it is by faith. It's not a reality. It is a reality. It is the only reality that truly matters. Because without this reality, there is no hope for eternity. There is only a pending death, and yet those people will find eternity. And that is a sad reality. Because God has stipulations that if we have not believed on His Son and walked by faith, we will not walk with Him, but we will experience eternal separation, which is known as the second death. So in keeping with our studies and the teachings that we've been giving to you, please turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 13. 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13. Now, before we begin, and as you're looking at these words, as you're finding your place, just listen to my voice. One of the things that I want you to understand is we can look at the Scripture and look at the tense in which it is written. And by when I say tense, I mean past, present, or future, all right? Because the tense of the word, the form of the word, speaks to us a reality that we can hold to. If it's speaking about something that is past, we have to look back for it. If it's speaking about something that is present here now, it means it can happen now and it is happening now. Now, wait a minute, this was written 2,000 years ago, correct? In God, His Word is ever live and ever present. So therefore, it is happening even now as people believe unto the Lord. It has a now attitude, and it is now in our lives. And it is now in the lives of those who went before us, and it is waiting for those who are coming to be with us in Christ Jesus. God's Word is infallible, it is inerrant, and it is inspired, and it is eternal. All things shall pass away, but my Word, He says, shall last forever. So from the fifth chapter of the book of John, beginning in the 10th verse, and reading through verse 13, hearken unto these words. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Blessed be the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we understand this word, He is telling us here exactly what He says. It's black and white, right? The page is white, the ink is black. It's just like reading a newspaper. It says it, so it must be true. Well, when you read the newspaper, I don't really know. But when you read the Word of God, yes, you can know it to be truth, because it is infallible, it is inspired, it is inerrant, and it is eternal. These things are truth, and we know them, for we have seen them and we have experienced them, and they have been built upon our hearts. Today, as Miss Sally was bringing the worship, as you sung that song of faith that Mitch just spoke, how many of you were touched by the realities that we saw here? Because Miss Sherry just graduated, and here we are speaking of this reality in our opening hymn. Miss Sally, how long ago did you and I plan that song? 2 weeks. Is God alive and well? He is in control of things that we have no idea what we're doing until they happen. And then He can enter in and change it even in that moment. And that's the awesomeness of our God, that when we have believed, we see Him and we know. There's no doubt in it. Our world wants us to doubt. Our world wants us to throw it away. Our world wants us to say, yeah, well, you know, it's just faith. It's not real. You can't touch it. It touches us. How many of you been there, done that, right? Yes, I can't touch God. I try. How many of us here try? We try to touch God, right? But how many of us here, how many of us know when God is touching us? How many of us know that when we're in His presence, everything else fades away? That is knowing. That is knowing in no uncertain terms. Because the heart resonates it. And nothing can take that away. Nothing, no one. They don't know Him. Why do you think they reject Him and tell us to? Because they do not know Him. And therefore, they know not God. So how can they know what they do not know? You and I have a reality that each of us needs to hold to. Most of us here could quote John 3:16, correct? How many of you here can quote John 3:36? Turn there. John 3 and 36. It's only 20 little verses later. You know, all of us know John 3:16. I mean, that one is like, well, gee, Pastor, that's the first thing they teach you in Sunday school. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. But when we think about just a little bit further down in the Scripture, just 20 verses later, there's a reality here that I need to ask you. Here is the Word of the Lord from verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Who of you here has asked the Lord to be your Savior? Who of you here has believed on the name of Jesus Christ? In that reality, we know, this is present tense, now, here, today, active and alive for you and I and for everyone who will believe. It says right here that we have eternal life. We have it now. It's not something that's coming to us. It's something we have now. Why do you think our lives are different? How many of you, when you came to Christ, suddenly things that you used to do don't seem appropriate anymore? How many of us, when we see our friends doing the things that we used to joy in and jump right into, we get one of these numbers. Kind of a false start, you know what I mean? Like dumping the clutch on an old clunker at the stop sign. And we got to start her up again and ease into it, right? That's a changed life. Why is it changed? Because we have eternal life. We no longer have life in the world. We have life in Christ. And something changes. That's how we know. Because there's a difference in who we are and who we are yet becoming. Do we struggle with it? Pardon me. I've been coughing all morning. Do we struggle with it? How many of you here got it down? Smooth sailing, right? I'll tell you what, sometimes I think I'm in the most horrible storm on the sea that I could ever be in. Because it ain't smooth sailing. I've got the jib cut and all the sails are down and I've even got an anchor out trying to hold on. But the awesome thing is we know who our anchor is, don't we? We know who protects us in that storm. That all life can be raging, but we've got that anchor out and we've set the jib of the sail just to catch the edge of the wind, because we know that if we turn this thing over to God, He's going to get us through this storm. Amen? That's knowing. Why do you think you do those things? Because you're dumb? No, because you're intelligent. Because you have realized, you have tasted the Lord, and you know that He is good, and you won't stop coming back. He says to us, as He says to the woman at the well, if you knew who it was who stands here before you, you would have asked Me for water, and I would have given you water that wells up to eternal life. And from this water, you will thirst no more, right? Because once we know it, you know, it's kind of amazing. You know, we see the Coke and Pepsi commercials out there, and they're, you know, you've seen the ones where the Coca-Cola guy's sitting there, and there's the Pepsi guy, and he slides a Coke over to him, and he drinks it, and he puts it on Facebook, and then they get into a terrible fight. Well, let's change that metaphor a little bit, because we're the Pepsi guy, but we don't have Pepsi, we have living water. And we're sliding it over there. And when they accept it, we put it on Facebook and we don't get into a fight. We hug each other and we walk out triumphantly, giving somebody else even more of that living water. Because together we know that we have been changed. We know what we have believed and are convinced that He is able to keep that which we have entrusted unto Him against that day. That's God's Word. How do we know God's Word? Isn't it strange how when you begin to know God, you begin to get into His Word, and all of a sudden it becomes part of you? Why is that? Who is the Word? John 1:1. Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word. And we begin to put it into us. How many of you here quote Scripture, and it's like, where did that come from? Been there, done that? It's like, how did I remember that? Oh, that was cool. That's God. That's how you know. The Scripture is very clear. We can know. And we know today. And there's no question in our being that we know, that we know, that we know. One of the awesome realities of knowing is the reality that we get, and there are four of them, because when we come to this fact of knowing that you can be saved and know it, all right, it is a fact that you can be saved and know it, there are four other realities that come from it. The first of which you'll find in 1 John 3, 1 through 3. So turn back to 1 John again, because I want you to grab a hold of these, and I want you to hold on to them, because this world does come against us, doesn't it? It smacks into us at every opportunity to try and knock us down, because it's constantly testing us, right? That's why we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, because God doesn't tempt us, but it's understanding that temptation will come, okay? And God delivers us from it. So in that deliverance, we can understand four realities that I really want you to grab a hold of. The first comes from 1 John 3, 1 through 3, from the first verse. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. I'll explain that in just a minute. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Do you remember what I said just a few moments ago? That something happens and all of a sudden we can't do the things that we used to could. You know, we kind of draw back from them a little bit. That's because when He is in us, Christ in us, Christ can't sin. We can. But the Spirit of God in us, when we find ourselves coming into sin, comes in against it. It's like sandpaper, okay? It's like sandpaper coming against something, and it grinds, and it doesn't feel right. That's strange. You know, I don't like this. Why? Because God in us, who is perfect and pure, is teaching us, is showing us. He'll let us sin, won't He, folks? You all can say yes to that because you all do. But you know you're doing it, don't you? And if you don't know it immediately, you'll know it shortly after. Right? And I think that's one of the most amazing things about being in Christ, because when that first started happening to me, I would sin, and I'm not boasting. I want to boast in the Lord here, all right? I'm not boasting in my sin. But when I was first a young Christian, I'm talking to you young people out there, all right? I would sin and think nothing of it. And then I would be doing my devotions hours later, the next day. And all of a sudden, I'm reading that what I just did was wrong. Oh, then a few months later, something else would come up, and it didn't take hours, it took minutes. Because it actually started out as days, then it went to hours, then it went to minutes, then it went to when it was happening, and to the point where it got to before I entered in, I knew it was wrong, and I could turn from it. You see, that's God working in us because we are His children. God disciplines us. God brings rebuke upon us. We are His children. Isn't that what it says? That we are His children. Not we're going to be, all right? Not that we're going to be. We are now, here, present tense. You are God's child. Now, it says something here, and a lot of people don't quite understand it. It says, we are God's children. And what we will be has not been made known. Does anybody have any ideas what that's talking about? That's talking about the eternal state. We live eternally now. We have eternal life now. But we are not in the eternal state. All right? That will not happen until Christ comes again and He reestablishes everything and we rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. At that point in time, we're going to be changed. We're no longer going to have these bodies that are riddled with disease and age. You know, I think this is wonderful because this scripture is where it says what I try and teach you. All right? It says here, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. How old was Jesus when He died? 33. Between 33 and 35, if you look at the calendars. All right? When we are in our eternal state, we will be 35 forever, for we shall be like Him. How would you like to be 35 again, Mitch? Yes, forever. But we won't have this physical body with its limitations. We will have the body like Christ that was able to enter into the upper room with locked doors. We will be able to traverse the universe in the blink of an eye because we will both be spiritual beings and physical beings. Can you explain that? No. Scientists can't explain that because according to the laws of physics, That can't happen. Guess what? I know who wrote the law. And it is subject to him. He is not subject to it because he created it. He is greater than the law. Aren't we glad? When you and I understand that we are different, and in that we realize we truly are a child of God because he's rebuking us, he's correcting us, he's leading us, he's guiding us, he's changing us. Isn't that what you parents do with your children? Think about this. Your children go about their daily lives and they get into all kinds of trouble and all this stuff, you know, they pull all the... If you were like me when Lynn and I were raising Russell, okay, God bless us, we only had one, I wanted six. Everything on the counters, every end table, every coffee table was cleared back as far as the kid's arm could reach. I don't know how in the world that kid had 3-foot arms. But God raises us up in that same manner. He puts things back out of our way. And he teaches us. He doesn't let us get away with the things that we shouldn't get away with, does he? He does bring discipline. He does bring correction. He does bring rebuke. He does open doors of opportunity for us. He teaches us in the way that we should go. That's how we know we're his children. God is always there guiding and counseling and loving and protecting and providing. And we know it. And in that, you may know that you're a child of God. Now, does that mean that misfortune won't come your way? Absolutely not. Remember, these things come our way to test us, to try us, and to make us grow. Because you don't grow at the mountaintop. Nothing grows on the mountaintop. It's a beautiful vista. We love to go there and see it, but you can't live there. We got to get down in the valley, don't we? That's where things grow. Down in the valley so low. But it's also in that valley where it's lush and green and life flourishes. And that's where we live. The second thing that we can know is that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, does that mean that you have righteousness of your own? Let's look at the Word and make sure we understand this. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 17 through 21. Now, this piece of Scripture also has the third portion wrapped up in it. So I want to see if you can grab a hold of it and see it before I get to it. All right? I want to see how many of you are paying attention and understanding that there are things that you can know. There are four things that you can know. The first is that you are a child of God. The second is that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. From verse 17, we read these words. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might we might become the righteousness of God. Blessed be the word of our Lord. We have no righteousness of our own, but in Jesus Christ, from the cross of Calvary, as we accept Christ's payment on that cross, the blood that he shed, remember, what does it take for the remission of sins? The shedding of blood. Because the life is in the blood. Tie all the knots together. You and I don't have any righteous blood in us. But by the cross of Calvary, through faith, you can know that you have the righteousness of God poured over you and in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit dwells in you, the righteousness of God fills you. Now, it's an amazing concept, and it's one that it does different things to different people, okay? As I have been growing in the Lord, and it's one of the things you've all been able to witness in front of me, those of you who have been with me for a number of years, because when I first came to you all, I had color in my hair. And as we have experienced all the things that we've experienced together and the things that God has done unto me and with me and through me, my hair has turned white. I do feel like Moses sometimes, that I've looked on the face of God and it has changed me. Okay? You know, I did not realize that when I played Moses on the first VBS that we ever did and I painted my hair white. Y'all remember that? How many of you remember that? Right? Years ago. I did not realize that that was a precursor to what would actually be. But here it is. Because God has walked with me and God has shown me a righteousness that is not my own. And it has caused me to grow in such a depth that I am not afraid to speak on the things of God now, no matter who I'm with. There was a time when I couldn't because there were those who did not accept it and I allowed men to rule over me. No more. No more. No more. Because we have got to realize God is our righteousness. God is our divine Father. God is our salvation. God is our Creator. God is the one that we are all accountable to, who has brought us to life and given us the hope of glory and called us children, His own, and has given us a reality that is the fourth portion. Now, how many of you in reading this with me have determined what the third is? For we can know that we have been made the righteousness of God through the power of the Holy Spirit in us that changes us from an immaturity to a maturity walking with Him. What is the sign? What does gray hair signify? At least I pray it does in my case. Supposed to speak of wisdom. I must be the wisest man on the face of the earth. And I know I'm not. Okay? What's that? You still see color? Okay. I'm getting there, right? Wait until it's all washed out. And what a glory that will be. But the third one is what? This is the guarantee. This is the reality that we are a new creation. Verse 17 speaks it. Verse 17 says it in a reality that therefore if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a what? That's the new birth. What does that new birth afford us to be? Remember, the church has taught for centuries, and it's wrong, that we are created in the image of God. Wait a minute, the Bible does say that, doesn't it? No, it says Adam was created in the image of God and Eve was created in the image of God. But in chapter 2, verse 5, it says Adam and Eve had other children created in, procreated in Adam's image, the fallen image, because Adam sold the image of God to Satan. He gave away his birthright. And it is only in Christ Jesus that we get it back. We are a new creation, for we are now in Christ, the image of God, because that's who He was. The fullness of God's image, what? Dwelt in Him. And now He dwells in us. And if He is in us, we are in Him. We are that image, a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and we are to live a new life unto Him. In righteousness and holiness, His righteousness, His holiness, but our submission, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love Him, because we know what He's done, and we've experienced that change in our lives, and we know the hope that we have in glory, that death has nothing over us, because death is the opening of the door that we all long for and wait for, but we have to work in this life until that door is open to us, because we have a work to do. And that work, dear friends, brothers and sisters, is to make other new creations just as we are. That by faith, others would believe and receive the very same things that we have received and are giving away. The gift of Christ that came in the form of a babe is still giving today. And it's giving through His children. Remember, the Son of God came. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you can say, I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. And I have something to give away. And it's something that will last forever. And that last thing that we have to give away is the reality that you are an heir of God. You are an heir of God. What does that mean, you are an heir of God? Turn in your Bibles to Galatians. This is our last verse for today. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians. Just a few pages back here from Colossians. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to be in 26. And we're going to read through 4:7. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in the 26th verse and going through 4:7. From the 26th verse, the book of Galatians, in the 3rd chapter, we read these words. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we are children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. An heir to what? An heir to everything that He has created. Everything that is seen and unseen. I hope you all realize, I think it's one of the most amazing things. You know, we see these pictures from the Hubble telescope and some of these other telescopes where they're showing us galaxies and nebulas and, you know, it's that Star Trek stuff, you know. That's what we can see. That's what we know. Do you realize the spiritual world is so much bigger than what we can see and what we know? And all of that that we cannot see is ours as well. You know, I am so amazed that here on earth we struggle for money. Money, 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 money. You got to have money. Because it's the thing of life, right? Wrong. It's a tool. It's something that God has given us so that we can live here and have our being and trade and eat and put clothing on our children and a roof over our head. It's a blessing from God. It's not the thing. God is the one. For when we seek Him, everything that He has given is ours. Now, it's amazing to me because right now we're all kind of being held back, right? We don't get everything we want, do we? Why do you think here it says that we're like slaves, okay? Because we're like children who have guardians and what have you. How many of you parents have told your children, no, you can't have that? Not one of you, right? None of you here has ever told your children they can't have something. We give them everything they want. If you do, you have some spoiled brats. But God does that here with us. We are children. Wait a minute, I'm 52 years old and He's going to treat me like a kid? Yes, He's eternal. He's a whole lot older, but yet at the same time newer than I am. I think that's amazing. I'm the one aging. God hasn't aged since. Finish that sentence. You can't. Since. All right? He does not age. In him there is no age. He simply is. And our awesome reality is that we are heirs. And as that spells out, okay, and we all understand this, when does an heir get their inheritance? Not until there's a death. Well, guess what? God doesn't die. So what death is he talking about? Our physical death. And once we die physically in this world, we then receive the full promise as heirs of God, and all of glory is given unto us. God holds nothing back. When we are in his presence, when we are with him, everything that he has, we will receive. It says, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you've all heard me talk about this, and the folks on the internet are going to get sick of hearing it too. When I was doing the confirmation, which we need to set up another confirmation class because we got some young ones ready, I told them, what do you want to experience when you reach eternity? What do you want God to allow you to do? And it was so neat to hear their things because, you know, they were typical teenager earthly things, right? Yeah, texting. Oh, I want to be able to have my own phone and text my friends whenever I want to. Oh, I want to be able to drive a car as fast as I can drive a car. You know, silly things. And I told him, I said, you know what I want to do? I want to run my fingers through the rings of Saturn. I want to stand on Pluto and look to the sun. I want to go to the Horsehead Nebula and watch stars being born. I don't know what I want because I haven't had the opportunity to see what yet lies before me. But in that great and fateful day when it all opens up, we're going to be like kids in a candy store with a pocket full of pennies. Those of you who are my age understand that. You young kids have no idea. Pennies? What the heck are they good for? You see, when we were kids, they had stores with shelves and jars and boxes of all kinds of penny candy, which now costs a quarter. What's that? Or a dollar, yeah. And we're going to be like that because everything will be put before us and nothing will be held back. But now things are held back because we do not have the mental faculty because we are temporal. We do not have the mental faculty to handle the things of eternal things. But once we are with him and made whole and wholly his, and we will be like him, our minds will be made like him. We will think differently. We will think much more maturely. We will think on an eternal nature. And in that day, we'll be able to handle the things. But for now, all of this, I don't care if you're 2 years old or 82 years old. We're in kindergarten. We're learning. This is God's school. This is where he grows up his people, those who choose him, and brings us to these realities that you can be saved and know it. And in knowing it, you will realize that you are a child of God. You will understand and know that the righteousness of Christ is in you. You will know and believe that you are a new creation. Your past has no hold over you, and all the future sets before you in the glory of God. And that the day will come when you will rule and reign with Christ, and everything in creation will be at your hands to experience and know the full love of God and to glory in him forever and ever. Today, I pray that when you leave here, you will know these things and that you will share what you know with a world that so desperately needs it. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the love that you give us. We thank you for the life that we have. And we thank you that we can know that we truly are saved by grace. And in that knowing that you set us apart as a child, filled with righteousness, a new creation, ready to go forward unto the day you receive us to yourself, and everything in creation, seen and unseen, is ours for your glory. Gracious Father, teach us to take that very word and reality out into this world by faith, that all may know that you, God, have loved us, that you have paid the price, and that you have set us free, that this life, this world, does not hold us, but you hold life itself. And to that we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, your Son, our Savior. And all God's church said, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.